Amen. Thanks. Amen. Good morning, church. It's good to see you this morning. Welcome. Come on in. Find a seat and let's worship together. I'm thankful that you're here and that we can worship the Lord together. Psalm 115, 2 to 3. Why should the Gentiles say, "So where is their God?" But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Our God is Creator God, who gives us the very breath that we breathe in. And of course, he can do whatever he pleases. But you know what pleases him? It pleases him to offer salvation to all who would believe. And it pleases him when we gather this morning together, both here or online, to worship him. And I want my life to do whatever pleases him. Unto his pleasure, unto his glory. I trust you feel the same. Let's think this morning for a minute before we sing about pleasing the Lord through our worship. Let's bow our heads and consider. Oh God, thank you for this morning. We commit it to you. Help us to do what pleases you, both with our minds and our words, our actions, what our hands do, where our feet go. Please, Lord, we need your help in order to make sure this isn't a religious act this morning, but an act of revealed relationship with you. Help us, I pray, for all of us to serve you well. Thank you. So much that we can be together in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a new song this morning. I'd like to go ahead and sing a verse through with the praise team and then invite you to stand and sing with us. Just relish the lyrics with me. It's a very much a hymn-feeling song, though it's very new. It's a hymn-feeling song. I trust we can catch on the melody soon. But let's just, especially when we sing it together, make sure we sing it. Thinking about the words. So here's how it goes. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom. My steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. All right, would you stand? Let's go back to the beginning of the song. We'll sing the whole thing through. There's four verses, again, rich with theology. Let us, Lord, would you please use it as we sing this morning? What gift of grace? What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom. My steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. This I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, sure, the price it had been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave.
Amen.
To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Freedom found in Jesus Christ, the one and only. Thank you, Lord, for that this morning.
With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day I know that he'll renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my only hope is all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall we meet, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
When the race
is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I.
Read some scripture here. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. It may sound familiar to you. Well, it is, because it's straight from scripture here. 1 Corinthians 15:9-10 says, "For I, Paul, saying, I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." No, it was not Paul's labors and his labors alone. It had to be Christ through him.
Let's continue standing as we continue lifting up our voices to the Lord this morning with over 1,000 tongues to sing.
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Oh, for 1,000 charms are fierce, make the foulest clean, his blood availed. Behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name.
One, two, three.
Who has the power to raise the dead? Who can save us from our sin? He is our hope, our righteousness. Jesus, only Jesus.
I'm singing about Jesus this morning.
The keys to set us free. He paid it all to bring us peace. Jesus, only Jesus.
Holy King,
Holy King Almighty Lord, saints and angels all the door I join. Jesus, only Jesus.
You will command.
You will command the highest praise. Yours is the name above all names. You stand alone. I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus.
Let's be seated. To welcome you this morning, we do welcome you this morning to our church, and just want to let you know we're glad you're here and want you to know that our church is committed to building up and reaching out. That is our vision statement. And to build up is to encourage one another, it's to edify one another, and to reach out is the evangelism part. And both are very important. If you're here for the first time, we desire to reach out to you, and we desire, if you're not a Christian, that you would come to know Jesus Christ the Savior. We also desire that you'd please come back to our Connection Corner and go ahead and get a gift from us, and we'd be glad to meet you and get some information. We want to connect with you so we can learn how to serve you. For a few announcements this morning, we want to remind you that a new class started for our ladies and specifically for our moms or grandmas as they are seeking better to help encourage and grow our young ones. And that is led by Abby Spinney. That class is back by the kitchen. Last week, I believe, was her first week. So just if you missed it last week, go on back and enjoy class with the ladies. Also want to let you know, fellas, that we have a men's breakfast this coming Saturday morning, and would encourage you to check that out. Talk to Lloyd. Scott Shores, I believe, is involved with that. They'll let you know more details on what to bring and when to come. But Saturday morning, men's breakfast. And then finally, the following week, Thanksgiving's coming up already. We have a Thanksgiving service. Starts at 6 o'clock with our meal, but also goes into a time of testimony in here. And it's a good time for us every year to reflect on who God is and what he's done and how we can praise him as a church family. So pray you'll be able to come to that as well. Thank you for coming. We're privileged to worship the Lord together. Pastor Lloyd, would you please lead us in prayer?
Yeah, just one announcement. Men's breakfast, there's two things you bring, friends and food. Now, if you bring friends, it's great. We'll have some fellowship. But if you don't bring any food, we'll starve. So cooks, if you want to help cook, be at the church at 6:30. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, yes, Jesus, only Jesus, you blessed us so much, far beyond all that we can imagine. We need to think about that more, the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into our lives at the right time to change us, to pull us out of the slave market of sin, to pull us out of the grave of death, and give us new life so that we can walk in the newness of life. Lord, help us to look at ourselves. Are we walking in the newness of life? Are we appreciating the power that it caught, the power it took to raise us from the dead and to live that new life? We have weaknesses, Lord. We make mistakes. We sin. But we don't ever want to use your grace as an excuse to sin. We make no excuses for our sins. We confess our sins because you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And Lord, we want a pure relationship with you. Is there anything in our lives at this time that's hindering us from having an open, beautiful, powerful relationship with you? If so, reveal it to us, Lord. Don't let us become conditioned in our sin or conditioned in our lack of fellowship with you. Help us to see the blessing of fellowship. Help us to see who you really are. The land needs to be filled with the knowledge of God. That knowledge of God comes through his word and through his people learning and living his word. Father, we'd ask that the Holy Spirit would descend upon us today and fill us with your glory. Give us ears to hear. Give Mike the power to speak the words you want spoken to us. Lord, if we're not growing, we're not changing. Change us. May we leave here different people. May your Spirit convict us through our day, through our week, if there's something not right in our life. Do we appreciate the grace that we have from you? We certainly pray for the missionaries around the world who are carrying on this word. We do pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them and encourage them. We pray also the persecuted church that stands for truth in a dark place. They are truly lights to the world. We pray, Father, that you would fortify them in truth, give them access to your word, and help them to memorize your word and know your word. Illumine them to the truth, to live your word before their captors. We pray that their captors would be saved. We pray, Father, that we would think about what it might mean to suffer according to the will of God, to share in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. The world hated him before because of his righteousness. Are we living a righteous life in order to draw fire from the unsaved dark world? Fortify us in truth. Help us to know truth. Sanctify us in truth. Help us to live truth. Father, we pray this day that you will work in our lives and you will give us opportunities to encourage each other this week through a phone call, maybe through a cup of coffee, maybe through a note. But we need to encourage each other, minister to one another in these dark days. Help us to strengthen each other by the power of your Spirit working through your word. So, Lord, be with us. We pray for our prodigals. We have our children who we've raised in the faith and have walked away from the faith, and their heartaches to us. And we pray and we pray, and it doesn't seem that anything ever changes in their lives. But we pray for renewed fortification. You are a God who can change a heart of stone. And you have to give us faith in order to believe that, especially if your time is not right for salvation in our loved one's life. We do pray, Father, that you will give us the steadfastness of faith that we need to trust in you for the salvation and welfare of our prodigal children. Pray for those who are sick, laid aside. Father, we pray that you would heal them. You are the God who heals physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We cry out for you to glorify yourself and your healing of us, again, through the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, thank you, and may our hearts be thankful. May we worship you in spirit and truth this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For that song. He truly is the God of the mountains, the God of the valleys, the God of the good times, the God of the dark times. And it's that God that could only accomplish something amazing and miraculous out of something that's so heinous and hateful, the cross, that he could make a miracle of love and forgiveness out of that. Let's stand and lift up our voices as we sing The Wonderful Cross.
Amen.
Thank you.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the
save the wretch.
ladies on this next verse.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace of fear, the hour I first.
All right, men.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already gone. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
All together. Be seated.
Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. Bring the presence of the risen Lord to renew my heart and make me whole. Cause your word to come alive in me. Give me faith for what I cannot see. Give me passion for your purity. Holy Spirit, breathe new life in me. Holy Spirit, come abide within. May your joy be seen in all I do. Love enough to cover every sin in each thought and deed and attitude. Kindness to the greatest and the least. Gentleness that sows the path of peace. Turn my striving into works of grace, breath of God, show Christ in all I do. Holy Spirit, from creation's birth, giving life in all that God has made, show your power once again on earth. Cause your church to hunger for your ways. Let the fragrance of our prayers arise. Lead us on the road of sacrifice. That in unity the face of Christ will be clear for all the world to see. Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lloyd. Pastor Don's on vacation this morning, so you get to hear from your youth and music pastor. I don't know what to say. Thank you. Hopefully you feel that way when I'm all done. Hey, let's go to Matthew chapter 20 this morning. Matthew chapter 20. And we'll be looking at a parable that I thought I knew and then realized that I got to know more as God, the Holy Spirit, as Lloyd just sang about, opens our eyes more to what we ought to know. Your deacons and your pastors are reading through a book this year called Transforming Grace. And this book has done much to help me understand more about the reality of grace in the life of a Christian. I really appreciate it. That's where this message is coming from this morning. So I pray it'll encourage you. And let's go ahead and read the passage, and then I will pray. Matthew 20, 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. Again he went out to about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have been borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go, but I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first and the first last. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would please, through your Holy Spirit, illumine us this morning. Open our eyes to the truth of your word. Help me to make sure I get out of my own way and to make sure that your word is preached this morning, so that it'll help us all. Lord, use us as we think about your word this week, how it transforms us and the power of grace and what that needs to do in our life on a daily basis, and not only our lives, but the lives of others. Lord, use us and change us, teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I would like to actually start out with a one-word-each spelling bee. One word each spelling bee, and I have two teens that are going to come and help with that. So Ava and Rachel, if you please come up. Here's this for you. Thanks. Good job. All right. Okay, so I don't know if we've ever done a spelling bee in our church or not, but here we go. I hope they're prepared. They are two of my smarter teens here, so we'll see how this goes. There's no mom in the audience here for one of them. Okay, so Ava, I want you to go first this morning. Thank you very much for doing this. And your word this morning that you need to spell is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Could you put that in a sentence?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is a very long word.
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yay! Very good. Congratulations. Aren't you glad that she's up here and you're not? Woo! Good job. All right, Ava. Rachel, I have a word for you. Are you ready to spell it?
Yep, let's hear it.
Okay. Your word is I.
Well, that one's kind of difficult. Is it I?
She got it. Congratulations. I is spelled I.
Yay.
Very, very good. Well, I have rewards for you. I have one $5 Dunkin' Donut gift card for you.
Thank you.
And one $5 Dunkin' Donut gift card for you.
Why she gets the same time I get did.
Sorry, my dear, it's my spelling bee and I can just choose what I want to give out. Thanks. Congratulations. Good job. Good job. Good job. Do you ever feel that way when you read through this parable? You read through this parable and you start to work through the, wait a minute. And though, you know, I think I know it and I get to the end and I start to understand some more, but still, as I continue on in Matthew chapter 20, I'm like, wait a minute. How is that fair? How did that work? One did so much more than the other, and how is this fair? If we could go on to the next slide here. Yeah, how do we feel about this parable? Well, brothers and sisters, the answer may reveal how we feel about the grace of God. What do we know about His grace, and how do we feel? And does it work the same way that we really think it would, or does it work in a totally different way? Well, let's work through this parable here. And again, I'm just grateful that God has helped me to understand this in a better way. And again, I hope He does with us together here. So this parable, the parable of the generous landowner. Your Bible may say something different about what the name of it is, but looking at it from the author's perspective of the book we're reading as a generous landowner. Well, let's look at five what we may call questions or internal dilemmas about this parable that we need to work through to understand it better. Number one, what kind of operation can run like this and succeed? How in the world can it be okay that somebody has to spell maybe the longest word ever in English and someone has to spell a one-letter word? How is it that how is it fair that someone can work for the whole day and that someone can work for 1 hour? Like, who runs an operation like that and that can actually work out? Can you imagine trying to run a company like that here, inviting the workers in and having your first worker working a long day and then having someone come in at the end of the day to finish the job up and saying, here you go, here's your money, here you go, here's your money. We read about a denarius here. Everyone received a denarius. A denarius was most likely at that time it was a wage that was sufficient for the day. So I started doing some math in my head and say, to make the math easy, say you got $200 for a day of work, which over the course of 52 weeks would be about $52,000 a year. That's maybe average depending on where you work, where you live. Could be more, could be less, but just say $200 a day. And the first person comes in and gets that $200, and the one at the end gets that $200. How do you feel like that? Can an operation run like that? Can a country run like that? Never mind. You know the answer, and I know the answer. But look at this parable for a minute here. Verse 1 alone. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. I think, first of all, noticing the context, the start of this parable in chapter 20, we need to say that we're talking about the kingdom of heaven here. We're not talking about a kingdom on earth, but the kingdom of heaven. If a kingdom on earth decides to run their country or their company or whatever it may be this way, soon enough it will fail. So how is it different that we're looking at the kingdom of heaven and how that works? Notice the landowner himself, main character here in the kingdom of heaven. He works to go out and to look for the workers. I trust you can already start to make some connections that the landowner we're talking about is God himself. And he went out and he looked and he invited in. This is not a landowner that is hands off and wants nothing to do with the process. But Most of all, I think the thing that we need to take away from this first question, and that generally I feel like I've taken away from this parable period, maybe you have too, is that the Lord or the landowner here is both sovereign and gracious. He's sovereign. God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Who am I to argue? Think about Job. Finally, in chapter 38, God shows up on the scene, and he tells Job a thing or two that Job was long past needing to hear. Job needed to understand once again that God was the one in control, even though some of the worst things that we can imagine would happen to him had happened to him. God is the one in control of everything. He gets to run his business the way that he wants to run his business. He's the creator God, and he's the one in control. So it's good for us to know that. However, we do move on to the second question that I have as I work through this. Is the landowner being fair to his laborers? That's the struggle here, I think. That's the rub as we work through here. Well, check out verse 2. It says, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. So, okay, are we being fair? At the beginning, he made an original agreement with those that were going to work the full day, the first shift. This is the way it's going to be. Are you agreed? Yes, we're agreed. We will work for a day's wage over the course of the day. So, let's skip ahead to verse 11 and 12 here. It says, when they, that's everyone, when they had received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only for an hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. So, naturally, they were kind of upset, just like we would feel upset if we got to the end of the day and realized that we were being paid the same thing as those had only worked 1 hour. But again, the sovereign landowner gets to run the business his way, and he also gets to decide what's fair and what's not fair. I learned a long time ago to be careful on what I express as fair. And let me ask you this morning. Do you want what's fair? No. Good answer. No. If we're believers here this morning, we know what's fair. What's fair is that my sin should be dooming me to eternity away from God forever and ever. Are you glad that the landowner did what was unfair for you? It's not fair that Jesus Christ, God's holy, perfect Son, got put on a cross for our sin by God's will, by Jesus submitting to the Father's will. But that's what happened. The unfair happened. Thank you, Lord, that the unfair happened. Because again, fair is me in hell, and the unfair is me in heaven. Praise the Lord that he did that. Titus 3, 5 and 7, 3, 5 through 7, both talking about mercy and grace. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. No, the landowner in many ways was not fair to his laborers, and yet thank you, Lord, that that's the case in our salvation here. And he showed them. He taught them. So it leads on to question number 3 that comes to my mind. What do I really believe about grace? What do I really understand about grace? Well, the word grace, of course, which I'm sure many of you know and we've heard many times from the pulpit here as we think about it, God's unmerited favor toward us. It is giving us what we don't deserve. So in word definition, I know what grace means. And as we look through this parable here, it helps us to understand even more what grace means. I'm looking at verse 8 through 10. It says, once again, when the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. A couple interesting things here. First of all, isn't it interesting that the laborer decided that the first group was going to be around to see what the last group got? Don't miss that point. And then the verse before actually talks about them standing around idle all day long. When we think of idle, we think hands in their pockets, doing nothing, kind of being a bum. But if you look at that more, it's just that they were unemployed. The word means they were out of work. They were unemployed. And they needed work. So back to verse 9. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the denarius. The landowner gave the laborers not so much what they earned, but what they needed. And that is, I think, the most important point that I can point out this morning from this message here. They didn't get what they earned, but what did they needed? All of a sudden, the focus is off of my works and onto God's grace. Praise the Lord for that. They had a daily wage. You see, the person that worked 12 hours had the same need as the person that worked 1 hour. They had a daily need of being to provide for their family, of being able to bring food home to the table and drink and take care of their animals and whatever else that they needed. They both shared that daily need. But the gracious landowner, he understood that and he gave them what they needed. And this is one of those moments where my mind was like, whoa, how did I miss this all these years of reading this parable? I tend to focus on the more that we work, the more I can earn God's favor or merit. And all along, God is showing me that's not how this works here. I provide in my grace for what you need. Praise the Lord for that. Galatians 2, 9 through 21 says, For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, Christ died in vain. That's true of salvation, but that's also true of the way we live. We live in the grace of God. Yes, as Ephesians chapter 2 says, we need to understand that we were created to do good works for him as believers, but ultimately we live in the grace of God. Galatians, Paul talks about the reality of this church going back and somehow believing that works is the way to go and being entrapped by what the Judaizers of the day tried to teach them. No, you got to go back, you got to do works. You have to be circumcised, in fact, specifically, in order to please the Lord. And Paul says, no, that's another gospel. That's not the right gospel. The gospel that I know and I'm preaching and what God said through Jesus Christ is that we are saved by grace. Saved by grace. So we need to live by grace as well and not live by works as if somehow we are earning our way to heaven still. It's grace and grace alone. And when I realize it in that way, it's so much more amazing than I even realized before. We sing Amazing Grace. We sing the wonderful cross. And this grace all of a sudden in my mind just got bigger because of God helping me understand this parable more. Wow. Grace is amazing. So fourth question here. Well, if that's the case, that's good. Thank you, Lord. But does my work matter at all? What about the hard work that I do? Well, it certainly was a legitimate question on the workers here that worked all day. It says in verse 12, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. So the griping is starting to come, right? It's hot outside. We had to work all day. We did this. We did that. Notice that, first of all, I don't believe if they had gotten their denarius first and left, they would have said a thing about the work. They're like, okay, I got what we agreed at. But when the last came first and the first came last, and they realized that they were going to get less, they got upset with it. And it makes me ask this question here about work period. Am I upset about the work that God has given me to do here on this earth? Am I grumbling and complaining about what the Lord has allotted to me or assigned to me? Mike, this is the work you're going to do. This is what I have assigned you to do here. Am I upset about the rewards that seemingly other people may be getting and I'm not? Am I upset because maybe I have less than others? Are we upset because we think that they have it easier, maybe less sickness, less challenges? Or am I okay with the work that God has given me? I pray that I will always be humble and accept the work that God has given me and rejoice in it, that I can do his work. In Matthew 19:27-29, page back in your Bible, Peter asked that very question. He said to Jesus, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" And it's true, the disciples indeed did leave everything to follow Jesus. Well, here is where our work matters. Jesus assured him, listen, Peter, in verse 29, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life." Many times as much. I think some translations say 100 times as much. 100 times, by the way, is 10,000%. Like, we can't keep track of how much better it will be in heaven and what we'll receive for what we did for the Lord. So yes, yeah, there are rewards to be earned. You look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. That's where our focus needs to be, and I'll just read this verse to you. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." My work can't be for what I'm thinking I'm earning toward pleasing God. It has to be, "Whatever you want, Lord, I need to do all to your glory." And the Galatians 6:9 also says concerning our works, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Does my work that I do matter? Yes, it does matter. And I think it matters for most of all for a single moment. That moment when we die, if by God's grace we were faithful here on this earth and did the work that he gave us to do, we can hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Everything that I'm working for here on this earth today for my whole life, ultimately it should not matter to me at all compared to anyone else. I just want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what I'm working for. That's my real need. And if I ever forget that, you remind me, please. That's what I need to work for. That's what you, together with me, need to work for. That one moment when you hear Jesus say, "Good job." That's all I need to hear. Finally, the last question is, can I trust the grace of the landowner? Do you trust the landowner? Is he a good landowner? Is he gracious? Does he give me the grace that I need? That last verse in the parable here, verse 16, "So the last shall be first and the first last." Very interesting verse, one of those paradoxes in our mind, why the last first and the first last. Well, when it comes to our need for heaven, we all have the same need. We're all equal. We all need Christ to save us from our souls. It doesn't matter if we're rich or poor, male or female, Jew or Gentile. None of that matters. We have the same need. And God, in his grace, for those who believe, has fulfilled that need. He gives me the grace that I need every day, and he gives me the grace that I need for salvation. And that's the point here. I can trust the landowner, not because only he says he's trustworthy, but he sent his son to die in my behalf. No other God has ever or will ever do that. All other gods are false gods. Only our God, God the Father, sent his Son to die for our sins. So everything else we can trust him in. So I think about grace, and maybe you feel the same way as I do, but As I learn more about grace, I think, how can I apply this in my life? What does this look like? God, help me to change. How can I change? And maybe you're like me in this way, but I still struggle when I wake up in the morning with thinking, if I read my Bible, if I pray long enough, if I witness this week, if I'm kind to my family, if I do a good job at my job, my ministry, if I do those things, God in His grace is going to bless me. There's a problem with thinking that way, though. The problem is did you hear the list of works that I need to do in order to earn God's merit, God's favor? How many times have I done all those things and checked off the list here, and it's been a bad day? Oh, great. It didn't mean anything. And it just makes me rethink about what we're talking about this morning. How does grace really work? I don't have to work and earn God's favor. As a believer, I already have it all. I have everything I need. Everything to be saved and everything to be sanctified. Everything to live the kind of life I need to lead. And when I do sin, should I sin as that grace may much more abound, as it says in Romans? May it never be. Of course not. I think about this week and preparing this message, and then indeed, guess what? I sinned this week. Maybe you did too. I know I did. And I'm like, okay, well, how am I going to work this through my mind? And with that sin, I realized in the immediate aftermath, I'm like, I don't feel like doing the right thing because I feel bad about what happened. That needs to change. I need to run back to my Father. And whether that takes minutes or hours or days or weeks, in that time that we have sinned and not run back to the gracious landowner, we miss the opportunity to do good works. We're just not in the mood. Who wants to evangelize after you sinned? Who wants to read your Bible convicting words after you said something you shouldn't have? We know that there's something wrong and we need to run back to the gracious landowner. And He already has forgiven us. He will pick us back up and help us to make things right. Praise the Lord. Four applications here to leave you with this morning. First, grace has no comparison. Recently read a quote by Teddy Roosevelt. He said, comparison is the thief of joy. There's nothing like grace, and it's important for us not to compare ourselves with others. Well, they got more grace than I did. Their life is easier than ours. No, the landowner gave us exactly what we need to live daily, fruitfully, every day of our lives. We need grace from each other, don't we? We need to make sure that as a church, when we walk in here, that we know that we have each other's backs, that we love one another, and that we're here for one another. If it wasn't for your grace in my life, I could never do what I do. We need grace from one another. Excuse me. We need to understand that salvation is something that we need to work out in our lives and not to work off. It's all done. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. We don't have to work off our salvation. It is done. We just need to allow God through His Holy Spirit in Christ to work it out. And finally, the world needs to see God's grace in us, not just in another system of works. If the world sees us as ones that do these things, A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, to make it through life, in order that they think this is how you please God, then we failed. Our world needs to hear that we are saved by grace and we live by grace, and we do sin. And when we do sin, we run back to the gracious landowner who gives us the help we need to live. That's words of hope. Another system of somehow trying to do good works in order to be saved, there's plenty of those out there. Plenty of false religions that would say this is how you get saved. You got to please that God, little g, that God above in order to be saved. That's not how our God works. And the world needs to see that grace in us. Praise the Lord for His grace. Praise the Lord that it is amazing that saved a wretch like me. We once were lost, but now are found. A were blind but now can see. Live in that grace, dear ones. Live in that grace. God gives us what we need. The times of trying to earn and pay off are done for all believers. It's time to live in the grace and be free in it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your love this morning. Thank you for your grace, the grace to meet together and to worship you, the grace to live daily in the way that we need to live. Lord, you are so good to us. Thank you for not giving us what indeed spiritually was fair. Thank you for keeping us away from hell and giving us eternity with you instead. Your grace is amazing. Please help us to be transformed by it. Please help us to drop the mentality of believing that somehow you're a God that is above counting our works on a big list that we need to pay you off. That's just not how you work. Thank you for that. We could never pay it off. Never. But in you, we have freedom. Thank you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand together, please. Father, you know we need grace to live this week out, to be faithful servants for you, to be laborers that are willing and thankful, period, to be laborers for you in the first place. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for making us whole. May we have a good week. May you bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.